Welcome back to Ashburton. We're about ready to start now.
It's Political Commentary.
With Professor Jennifer Curtin this morning. Kia ora, Jennifer. How are you today?
I'm good, thank you.
It's nice to speak with you. It's been a very, I guess, busy week in politics. The National Party has really been the star of headlines this week with the allegations about Sam Uffendale's behaviour as a teenager at boarding school and then also as a student in Dunedin, coming, I guess, into the forefront and creating a real conversation about his position in the party and as an MP. What's been some of your biggest takeaways from what we've seen in the media so far, the way the National Party's responded to it and the situation itself?
Well, I think the National Party, in particular Christopher Luxon, will be disappointed because they came off their national conference in such a high, and the media was giving them a lot of credit for looking like a party that was had sorted itself out. And so this will be disappointing for the party. Luxon is getting quite good press coverage on how he's handled it. I think what he'll be fuming about, though, is that the allegations sort of keep coming, so he'll have wanted to be sure, right, that he knows everything, so they can work out as a party how best to front foot it, and this just drags on. So it's really looking tough for Uffendale and his future, and the argument that's being put today pretty much is that he may be asked to just go sit on the back bench quietly until 2023 when they'll nominate somebody else for Tauranga.
What does it mean for the National Party more broadly? I mean, it was pointed out on Morning Report earlier this week that this isn't the first, I guess, behaviour scandal we've heard from a National Party MP in the last few years. In fact, there's been a very hefty long list of men who have behaved very poorly in public and in their private lives. And I guess it's sort of raised questions about what the National Party is looking like internally, which is something we've heard a lot about recently. What's your opinion on that? Do you think this is going to affect the way people perceive the party, or is this more of the same?
Probably a bit of both. I mean, what we know from the last poll, first of all, is that National was losing some of its vote share amongst women back to Labour. So they'll be wanting to think about that just at a really practical politics way. I think the other examples that we've been exposed to, if you like, over the last few years from National, a lot of that misbehaviour happened while they were MPs rather than historically in their life. And Christopher Luxon himself has said he believes in redemption. So the National Party won't be wanting to just brush over this, but nor will they want to be setting some kind of precedent that sort of excludes perhaps a lot of people from putting themselves forward. And they did sort out their code of conduct after the last lot of episodes. That code of conduct that comes under their health and safety review doesn't apply to, you know, to these kinds of historical pre-nomination indiscretions or like potentially breaking the law and so on. So it's not clear this review by the QC is really going to do very much except look like they're going through due process, I suppose.
I did want to ask about your thoughts on, more broadly, the conversation about the culture of Parliament and in politics at the moment, because this is another thing we've seen quite a lot of scrutiny on, the sort of bullying culture that's perhaps present in Parliament. There's been investigations into that. There is apparently processes in place to be working on that at a broader cross-party level. Do you think this is going to feed into that discourse much at the moment, or are we not really seeing those links being connected?
I'm not sure we are yet, but it would be really disappointing if they don't, because the weakness of the Francis Report's implementation, if you like, around, you know, just what a toxic workplace Parliament can be, is that it doesn't directly apply to political parties. Political parties are their own private organisations, and, you know, like other organisations, really have to work on the culture themselves. National believes they've done that. They did an internal cultural review, you know, of the party organisation. We didn't see the results of that independent review, nor did we see the ones from Labour's summer camp independent review. So they're keeping this very close to their chests, but it's disappointing to see that also, you know, all the Francis Report recommendations have not been implemented yet, and there is still resistance for the from some of the MPs and whips and so on to see, you know, parties being held to account for a lot more than they already are.
Mm. Well, let's talk about local politics, because that is a massive one going on at the moment. It's just around the corner for the whole country that we're going to have local body elections. What do people need to know? I think let's do a bit of a PSA here. How do you know if you're enrolled? What do you have to do? What's the sort of, first thing you should be checking at the moment?
Yeah, so first of all, I would just say if you want to stand for your local ward or for the council, you need to get your nominations to be a candidate in by noon tomorrow.
Ooh.
So, you know, yeah, so it's not too late. It'd be really great to see more people standing for those, people from our communities. We each need to check that we're actually on the electoral roll. That's what enables us to vote.
Mm-hmm.
Voting papers are not going to be sent out until the 16th of September. It's a postal vote option so people need to get to watch their mail. Now, mail doesn't come every day anymore.
No.
And we have to get those voting papers back by noon on the 8th of October. So we really don't want them falling in amongst all the, you know, newspapers or junk mail that comes through our letterboxes. We need to get them out. We need to look at them and fill them out, and we can either post them back through a mailbox or look out for the sort of boxes we, you know, in libraries and so on, you can put your envelopes with your voting papers in there. There's three voting papers for Auckland, one for mayor, one for the council, and one for your local ward. So that's what you really want to be thinking about. First past the post, people with the most votes win. It's really straightforward.
So it's quite different to our other, I guess, electoral processes in that sense, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. And I think postal voting turnout has been really poor in the past, and it's not very, the boards have gone up for some of the candidates already. But really, the thing about local council is that, and local, yeah, Auckland council, is that people tend to forget. But this is really important. Mm. You know, this is transport, this is housing, this is parks and swimming pools and libraries. So we really want to have a voice on all of that.
Absolutely. Well, Jennifer, thank you so much for your time this morning. We really appreciate it. Have a lovely rest of your Thursday, and we'll talk to you again in a few weeks.
Kia ora.
Kia ora.
You just heard a bit of political commentary
with Professor